are committed to doing this event with the White House Correspondents' Dinner that's about freedom of the press.
I want them because I don't want to see it be canceled. I don't want to have a crazy person. I think it's really bad for a crazy person to be able to cancel something like this. There are great people in the press too, like a name, but I don't want to embarrass your show. We have some great people in the press, some very fair people.
This is on 60 Minutes with Nora O'Donnell on Sunday. President Trump, you know, this is after they had already had the dust up over she read the ridiculous comments from the manifesto to him, and he told her she was a terrible person and terrible journalist. And, you know, but I love the idea that he said, we're not going to let some madman decide what we do with this event. We're going to have this event. Joining us now, we have our senator from the great state of Florida, former governor, and now Senator Rick Scott. Senator, welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, it's nice to be with you. I was invited, but decided not to go. Those events have become, in my opinion, dangerous. There's just so much hate out there. So I think it's very difficult to secure venues like that. But I'm glad the president, the first lady, and everybody there was safe. It's a scary time.
You said you didn't go. Did you not go because of security concerns?
Here's what I'm going through right now. There's a guy that the Democrats all campaign with. They go to Cuba with. His name is Hassan Piker. He goes on his podcast and wants to be murdered. You got Democrats campaigning with him. He wants all capitalists murdered. He says we deserve 9/11. He's anti-Israel. He's anti-Semitic. I just think if you're that's going on, you ought to just say, look, hey, be careful. I mean, that's a crazy, it's a crazy time in this country. The Democrats are all on board for violence. And so I just think we all have to be careful. I'm glad the president's safe and the first lady's safe. This is the third time in what, 2 years,
yeah,
2.5 years or something like that. I mean, and by the way, the Democrats, you see some of the stuff these people write, they wanted the guy dead. Like Jimmy Kimmel, I mean, joked about his death before this happened, and nothing happens.
Do you think Jimmy Kimmel? You think it's an FCC thing where that he can lose not him obviously, but the broadcast stations that carry the ABC programming for him? Because Melania has obviously called for him to be fired. Of course, President Trump has done and said so before. He says that the joke was about President Trump being old. I watched the fake thing that he did. I thought it was atrocious.
Yeah.
I thought the thing was atrocious.
How could I lie about this?
Right.
I mean, Jimmy Kimmel is despicable, but he's just an example. What the mainstream media has done, what the Democrats are doing, they are normalizing violence. Okay. And like Obama said, we weren't sure what his intention was. Give me a break. You're a complete liar. The Democrats are okay. I mean, look, the guy that wants to be murdered, wants all capitalists murdered, they're campaigning with him. They're going to Cuba with him. And they're going to Cuba in a regime that kills its own citizens, tortures them. I mean, I have a picture of a guy, Alexander Diaz Rodriguez. The guy looks like a Holocaust survivor. I don't think he's 30 years old. They starved him. He's got cancer. They gave him no treatment, so he died. I mean, and these people are supporting this stuff. So, I mean, the Democrats have gone crazy.
Your two issues that are on your agenda right now. One is the DHS funding, this ongoing, unbelievable. I don't even understand why we're here anymore. It's crazy that we're not funding this.
Well, think about it. Oh, some of these Democrats say, oh, thank God for a Secret Service. Well, they don't care about them enough to pay them. I mean, they're sitting there. We vote after vote after vote, and the Democrats all say, "I don't want to pay people on Homeland Security." That's what they say. And we don't want those ICE people that make sure our daughters aren't raped. We don't like them. Okay, that's what the Democrats are saying. Oh, Border Patrol, no, you're not letting all those illegal criminals into our country, so we don't like you. I mean, these people have gone berserk.
Do you think that I talk to a lot of Democrats, a lot of Democrat friends. I see online some of the crazy stuff that gets posted, but I also see a lot of people who, you know, they disagree with me politically, but they're not, like you say, they don't support repressive regimes. They wouldn't support a lot of the things that at the national level pass for normal. What's the disconnect between the Democrat voter, the average person here in Pensacola, and what the kind of things that you're talking about?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what. I think, I assume there's normal Democrats. I mean, take the Save America Act. Democrats want voter ID. But elected Democrats know that they won elections without fraud, so they don't like it. They don't want voter ID because they know for them to get elected, you know, there has to be some fraud involved, because you're going to elect people that hate our country, that don't want that won't allow criminals into our country, that don't want people to protect our kids, that don't want safe communities, that want to destroy our economy. I mean, they have such Trump derangement syndrome. They're okay with they destroy everybody's life as long as Trump fails.
Senator, one of the things, and this had escaped me, I didn't realize that the FISA court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act court, is actually up for reauthorization. What, tonight the act expires? Is that right?
Yeah, it expires tonight. We did it. It was going to expire a week ago, or 2 weeks. A week ago, and we did a 10-day extension. So here's what makes me mad. You should care about national security and should care about, you know, personal freedom. You're not supposed to surveil Americans. The FBI has surveilled Americans. I've been surveilled, right? So they surveilled me after January 6th. They, under Biden, they stole my tax returns, released them, never went after the people they gave the tax returns to. And then under the Clinton years, when I fought Hillary here, they went after my company. But Democrats, you know, no, they're okay with that. I'm not, right? They, because this all this lawfare, nobody at the FBI has been held accountable. So we want to extend FISA, but we have to have some changes so this doesn't happen again when we get the next, you know, because Trump's doing the right thing. Cash Patel, they're not going to do the wrong thing. But guess what? If we get a Democrat president sometime, are they going to go back into the exact same stuff again? And why can't they hold somebody accountable when they know they did the wrong stuff?
So are you at this point unwilling to reauthorize it? Want it with conditions? Will those conditions be accepted by the Democrats? I mean, that's the problem you have, right?
Well, there's Democrats and Republicans on this issue that are trying to make it better.
Okay, good.
I'm hopeful that the House will, what they pass, hopefully they'll get something done. We'll know this morning if they've been, and we'll come together through, they have a meeting at the Rules Committee before 10. But hopefully they can come together with some common sense reforms, warrant requirements when it makes sense. So, you know, some things like somebody besides just the FBI looks when they go to a FISA court, somebody else is on the other side, gets to argue the other side. So there's some logical things to do. I want safety for Americans, and I want personal freedom for Americans. That's not too much to ask. And I don't think we're that far apart, but we got to get everybody in a room and start solving some of these problems in this country. I've been up here 7 years. People don't talk to each other. They talk over each other.
One of the things that we're seeing right now is, of course, you know, Florida is in the midst of a potential redistricting. We're just starting special session next week. You've got other states that have done really outrageous things with their redistricting. I totally agree with the perspective that the Democrats have been doing this for years. Republicans are finally catching up. Not that it makes it right for either of us. We shouldn't be redistricting for political purpose. But, you know, here we are, and we're still waiting on the Supreme Court to say whether race should be involved. What is the long game here? Because this fight over redistricting has become like a nuclear war, basically, between the parties.
Well, what we ought to have is, our, you know, as much as possible, our states represent, you know, the population.
Agreed.
It's ridiculous what Virginia did when Republicans get at least 47-49% of the vote, and we're going to have one congressman out of Virginia, out of 11, I think it is. So I don't know exactly. I haven't, of course, seen what they're doing in Florida. What I know is, you know, we've got to make sure it's fair to everybody in our state. And so I'm hopeful that's what will happen.
Well, you've been governor. You know this process is very complicated and difficult. And, I mean, honestly, it gets me to the point where I almost can see the parliamentary system, you know, where if you get 30% of the vote, you get 30% of the seats. And if you get 60% of the vote, you get 60%. Yep. But then we lose the individual who represents us. And I hate that as a trade-off, but this, right. Everybody's doing evil. I mean, undermining the values of democracy and a representative republic in the way we do redistricting. And I don't know how to fix it. It just seems like it's getting worse and worse. And here we are where each state is, you know, well, we're a Republican state. We're going to do it worse so that we can balance what you're doing worse. And that can't be the answer.
No, no. Whatever they do in Florida, I hope it's fair to make sure people feel comfortable that we have a process that is actually fair to the voters. What I tried to do when I was governor is, you know, whatever, you know, I did anything is, you know, I represent everybody in the state, and you've got to try to be fair, don't dilute people's votes. Yep. That's why I'm really a big supporter of the Save America Act, because I don't want anybody's vote to be diluted by somebody that doesn't have a right to vote.
No, I completely agree. You were a former governor, and this is why I think this is interesting. Governor DeSantis has been authorizing a very high number of executions over the last year and a half. I'm fully on board with this. I think it's ridiculous that people wait 30 and 35 years to see the murder of their child get executed. These are not close calls. None of these are close calls. They're all atrocious people. But as governor, you know, how do you make that decision of which ones to actually pursue? Are you restricted, like we can really only authorize these ones? Because again, it seems like he's accelerated the pace, which I support, just give me the governor's perspective on why this doesn't happen more frequently.
Well, first off, it's a pretty solemn duty. I ran on jobs, and so when I ran in 2010, I never even knew I had any involvement in executions. And so the approach I took is I went through the cases. I think there are about 400 people on death row, and I went through the cases to make sure the worst cases, I looked at those. I looked at length of time people had been on death row. I looked at the chance that, you know, it would not be upheld, because it still has to be a final review by the U.S. Supreme Court and the state Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And so it's a solemn duty, and it's not something that I cherish, I did it, and it's like I did, you know, we had that, and I had clemency cases. Every 9 days I had about 80 to 100 people. It was all murderers, pedophiles, rapists, and significant drug sellers. And I decide with no standards what sort of clemency we should do. It's hard. And so.
Yeah, and especially for, I mean, you know, people of faith, it's hard too. Even if you believe in it, which I do, it's still, you know, it should never be easy. And that's, you know, part of the duty as well.
Well, what I told people is it's my job. My job is to do the job of the governor when I was the governor. And I said, that's the law. When people didn't like it, I said, you have the opportunity to go change the law. I tell people, if you don't like the fact that we have it in our state, then we do have a legislature, and you can go with that and go right. Change it.
Hey, last thing, I know it's maybe not as big of a deal, but the King of England, who we broke away from, if I remember correctly, is going to be giving an address to Congress. You're going to be at the joint address?
Yeah. Yep. I'll be there. That'll be interesting. I what I like him to do is talk to Starmer and tell him he should act more like Churchill and less like Chamberlain. Because right now he's an appeaser to Iran. That's wrong. The thing I'm working on up here, I think one thing I hope in the election this fall, there's a real conversation about how we get our jobs going to get in Florida. We've been losing jobs in the state of Florida. It's the biggest thing for, you know, a lot of families. I grew up in a family where my parents struggled for work. So hopefully that this election this fall, there will be a big focus on whoever we elect is going to focus on how do we get more jobs in the state.
Boy, talk about a topic that we all care deeply about that is not getting much press right now. Not much of the headlines. Senator Rick Scott, our senator from the great state of Florida. As always, sir, thank you so much for the time. I appreciate the perspective, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.